You're listening to sermon audio from Gospelite Baptist Church. For more resources or to donate to this ministry, please visit gospelite.org.
Love, joy, peace, and here we go. You ready? So 250 years, quite the accomplishment yesterday. What a celebration it was. I hope you got to do that with your family somewhere. If not fireworks, at least hot dogs and hamburgers and some kind of celebration. Just enjoyed so much what God allowed us to do yesterday. Just some downtime with family, some fireworks, and just an incredible display of freedom in the United States of America and a remarkable milestone to celebrate. But I want to do this this morning. I want to take a moment, connect that marvelous milestone of 250 years as a nation to the summer fruit that we're going to be talking about this morning. So to do that, I want to make a statement before we start. It'll be on the screen. I want you to take a look at it. It says this, and think about it for just a moment. In light of what we celebrated this weekend, nothing valuable survives without someone being willing to stay faithful through difficult seasons. Now, think about that statement in light of our celebration yesterday. Think about it just for a moment. 250 years, this nation has endured many things. We've endured wars, starting with the Revolutionary War. And then we had the War of 1812, the Civil War, World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Gulf War, the War on Terror. These are just a few of the wars that have been fought, lives that have been, men and women who have given their lives so that we could enjoy what we're experiencing, preaching the gospel still free in America. It's amazing. We've endured wars. We've endured incredible economic crises and political division still exist today. Cultural change, uncertainty, hardships, so many challenges as a nation we've endured. And yet, here we are. Here we are. Lots of smiles in the building. I mean, in light of all of that, man, we're blessed. I mean, I think there's probably not an empty belly in the church as far as starvation. I get it. You're hungry. Lunch is coming. And the sermon will be short. Great spot for an amen. Maybe. I don't know. But the idea is this, that we are here because somebody was willing to pay a price. Listen, you don't turn 250 and say, that was easy. There's a lot to say about that. Generation after generation, somebody chose perseverance over quitting. Somebody chose sacrifice over comfort. Many chose commitment over convenience. And I'm convinced that one of the reasons that America has endured is because people were willing to stay faithful when times were difficult. Now, every great blessing in life requires endurance. Endurance. Freedom requires endurance. Faith requires endurance. Families require endurance. Friendships require endurance. So if that is true, in many ways, that is exactly what the Bible calls patience or long-suffering. Endurance. This is really what patience is. It's what long-suffering is. Long-suffering is not a word we use very much anymore, right? It's not something that you hear very often. Most people don't say, yeah, I just need to be more long-suffering. We use the word patience, but for just a moment, if I could just emphasize the word long-suffering, because it's one of the most important qualities in the Christian life. Simply put, long-suffering is suffering long. That's what it is. It means staying gracious when people give you every reason not to. Amen. It means remaining calm when everything inside you wants to react. It means enduring disappointment, frustration, and difficult people without losing your cool. You see, the biblical word translated long-suffering or patience, it primarily refers to patiently enduring difficult people. offenses, disappointments, or wrongs without retaliating. Are you with me this morning? We're doing a deep dive on a word study here. Long-suffering in the Bible, long-suffering as a fruit of the Spirit, is people-focused patience. It's not primarily for yourself. Think about with me for just a moment. When a tree grows fruit, the tree doesn't eat the fruit. The tree produces the fruit so that others can enjoy it. And the reason why we need to bear the fruit of long-suffering and patience in our lives is for others to enjoy it. This may be one of the hardest summer fruits of the Spirit to develop. I'm going to be honest with you. Love, that's fun. Love is inspiring. Love just sounds like a good thing all of us need. Amen? Hey, joy. Joy is uplifting. Joy. Who wouldn't want joy, right? Yeah. Peace. Comforting. Oh, yes. We all need peace. Give me some peace. Patience. Could you go on to the next one, Pastor? Can we, could we go back to love? Patience? Why is this one so hard? Because people are difficult. People are difficult. Parents need long-suffering with children. But children need long-suffering with parents. And teachers need long-suffering with students. But students need long-suffering with teachers. And employers need long-suffering with employees. But employees need long-suffering with employers. And can I say this for the benefit of everybody in the room? Church members need, or rather pastors, need long-suffering with church members. And church members need long-suffering with pastors. Amen. Amen. Here's the bottom line. Every meaningful relationship requires patience. And it's so easy to appear patient when everything is going your way, right? When everything's going my way, it is so easy to appear patient. But I want you to know something. When people disappoint you, when people frustrate you, when people interrupt your plans, when people make the same mistake over and over and over. Can I keep going or is that enough? Yes, thank you. Exactly. Again and again and again, when people make mistakes, when these things happen, that is where long-suffering and patience become necessary. And might I say that before we push back on difficult people, Pastor, you have no idea. Before we do that, let's remember how God has been incredibly patient with us. 2 Peter says it like this. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some understand delay, but is patient with you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Every one of us in this room have been a recipient of God's long suffering. Every failure we've made, every selfish choice. And if you haven't made one yet, I've made one for you. I've made so many. Every wrong turn, God has remained long-suffering to us. You know why? We serve a very patient God. Amen. We serve a very patient God. And the same God who has been long-suffering with us now wants to produce the fruit of long-suffering in us. And that's what this series is all about, producing the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So let me give you three ways to develop long-suffering and patience in our lives. And if you'll listen quickly, I'll speak somewhat quickly. And I believe the truth is it's not necessary for it to be long and drawn out. So please listen and hang on to each one of these ways to develop the fruit of patience in your life. Number one, listen, recognize God's purpose in the pressure. Recognize God's purpose in the pressure. Listen to James' reminder here in James chapter 1, verse 2. Here's how he puts it. Consider it great joy. All right, we're off to a very confusing start here, because how do you consider it great joy when you experience a trial? It's a difficult one right there, right? When pressure is on, when things are tough, when difficult seasons come, when I've got a really hard person in my life that's driving me crazy, when I've got an employer or there's an employee or it's a wife, it's a spouse, it's a husband, it's a kid, and it's just pressure. You don't understand the pressure I'm under. Let's go back to stress, right? Here's how. Because you know. You know that the testing of your faith produces patience. This is how you get patience, pressure. And let patience have its full effect so that you may be mature and complete in your Christian life, lacking absolutely nothing. One of the biggest mistakes we make is assuming that difficult people are interruptions to God's plan, because many times they are God's plan. Many times God puts a difficult person in your life to produce the fruit of patience. The Holy Spirit often develops long-suffering through the very situations that we're asking Him to remove out of our lives. God, take this person out of my life. And God says, no, I put him there for a reason. It was my plan. I have you in this situation to produce long-suffering and patience in your life. This is the will of God. Because God is more interested in developing your character than God is in removing your discomfort. Our desire is to be more comfortable, and God says, my desire is to build more character. And you usually don't grow when you're comfortable. So pressure. Let me give you four pressures that produce the fruit of the Spirit. The first one is interruptions. Interruptions test us, right? I mean, nobody likes to be interrupted in their lives. We like things to go smoothly. Have you noticed how rarely something goes according to schedule? Does anybody notice that? Anybody ever been in an airport? Those of you that went to New York know what I'm talking about. The last day of the trip. Come on now. You heard about it, right? The last day of the trip, they had a delay and another delay and another delay. And then the dreaded announcement, your flight is not leaving. You'll be staying another night in New York. Then you got to find a hotel. It's so inconvenient. It's so crazy. It is so, the interruption of just a delayed flight. Have you ever tried to sit down and relax and then the phone rings? Have you ever finally just gotten focused and then someone interrupts you? Have a quiet moment and then the problem appears? How many parents sit down to a cup of coffee and then hear your kids fighting in the bedroom? It's like, oh, can I just enjoy a cup of coffee? In the New Testament, Jesus often turned interruptions into ministry opportunities. We saw it with Jairus's daughter. Jesus is going to heal Jairus's daughter. Read the account of this in Scripture. It's really incredible. On the way, it's an emergency. She is about to die. On the way to heal Jairus's daughter, or prayerfully in his mind, heal her, he comes across a woman with an issue of blood who stops him, interrupts his journey. The family of Jairus is freaking out, like, wait a minute, God, we've got to go. My daughter's about to die. She ends up dying because of Jesus' interruption, but Jesus heals her and proves that it's greater to build someone's faith when God can resurrect someone who's dead than make someone well who's alive. You say, wow, that's incredible. Exactly. Children interrupted Jesus. The blind man interrupted Jesus. The deaf interrupted Jesus. Jesus was constantly interrupted in Scripture. The truth is, the disciples saw interruptions, but Jesus saw opportunities. And maybe the interruption is not the problem. Maybe our reaction to the interruption is the problem. Number two, inconveniences reveal us. When we are inconvenienced, oftentimes it shows what's really in us. The pressure can push what's out when we are inconvenienced. Our culture hates inconvenience because we live in an age of instant messages, instant downloads, same day delivery, right? We pay for it. We'll pay extra just to get it instantly because we don't like waiting. We become frustrated by slow traffic, long lines, delayed flights, poor internet, unanswered text. Those things make us angry because we've become the right now generation. And inconvenience often reveals what is really inside of us. And long-suffering, stay with me now, pressure, long-suffering grows when we learn that not everything revolves around our timetable. Jesus, I will trust you. You never fail. You're always on time. Inconsistencies are the next thing. Inconsistencies are pressures, and they stretch us. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. Amen. I struggle when life doesn't seem fair. I hear this oftentimes in my dialogue with people trying to get through a difficult time. Why do good people suffer? Well, sometimes good people do suffer. Sometimes the hardest worker gets overlooked by the one who doesn't work nearly as hard. Sometimes dishonest people seem to prosper. Some things just don't make sense. So stay with me. Time out. What then is patience and long-suffering? It's when I don't understand everything right now, but I trust God anyway. I don't understand everything right now, but I trust God anyway. And then finally, irritations mature us. The pressure of an irritation produces long-suffering and patience. Most frustrations in life, have you noticed this? Most frustrations in life are not major crises. They're not. They're just little irritations. These are the things sometimes that annoy us the most. Traffic jams, lost keys, long hold times, late arrivals, technology problems. It is those things often that just irritate us and put that pressure on us. But God can use irritations to create something beautiful in our lives. The irritation then becomes the opportunity. The frustration becomes the classroom. The difficult person ends up becoming the teacher. Long suffering grows when we stop asking, how do I get rid of this? And we start asking, what is God trying to teach me through this? That's when our long suffering grows. This is why the fruit of patience is so different than the first three. This is one that we desperately need to have the first three. It's difficult to have love, joy, and peace without this fruit, the fruit of patience, the fruit of long suffering. Remember this, long suffering is grace under pressure. It's grace under pressure. And then number two, number one, recognize God's purpose in the pressure. Secondly, respond with grace instead of reaction. Respond with grace. Oh, what a challenge this one is. It's not easy, but I want you to see what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 1. It's a beautiful passage. Check this out. Thus saith the Lord, therefore I, the prisoner in the Lord, urge you, walk worthy of the calling that you have received. Now, just in case someone's wondering, well, who is he talking to about receiving this calling? Everybody in the building, because if you read Ephesians 1, 1 through 3, you'll find that he was writing this to all the saints at the church, every single one of us. This is not just for pastors, not just for elders, not just for deacons, not just for leaders. It's for every one of us. I urge you, walk worthy of the calling you've received and do it with all humility. Do it with all gentleness. And do it with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If you look at that scripture on the screen, you can see so many of the fruits of the Spirit all bundled up around that word patience. You see the word gentleness. You see the word peace. You see the word love, all bundled around this idea of patience. Patience is a love that refuses to quit on people. That's what patience is. Every healthy relationship requires long-suffering. Every healthy marriage, healthy families, healthy churches require patience. Every meaningful relationship requires the ability to put up with somebody lovingly. Amen. It's impossible to have a healthy relationship over a long period of time without long suffering. The people around us don't need perfection. The people around us need patience and grace. They need someone willing to stay calm, stay kind, stay faithful. Long suffering and patience protects unity of relationships. You want to protect your marriage? Be patient with your spouse. You want to protect your relationship with your kids and help lead them to Christ? Be patient when they make mistakes. You made the same ones. God forgave you. Be patient. Let's work together in the spirit of peace. Impatience divides relationships. Let's remember these things as we move forward in our lives. Oh, listen. The more active that... Well, let me give you three things here real quick. Three actions to take. Yeah, let me throw these at you. Three actions we can change. I think that's next, right? Look beyond your perspective. Number one, look beyond your perspective. One of the things that I've found in the Christian life is that perspective is everything. And when you... I have a difficult time with this because sometimes I think I have... You ever heard somebody say this? I have the gift of discernment. Well, that's not a gift necessarily. We sort of make that up, right? We kind of want this gift of discernment so that we can say to people, hey, this is my perspective. And of course, because I have the gift, I'm always right. That's selfish. Impatience is often rooted in selfishness. So when I become impatient, what I'm really saying is this: you're interfering with my plans. You're disturbing my schedule. You're making my life harder. But what if I stop seeing someone's issue through my lens? What if that difficult person is carrying burdens that I can't see? What if that young person who's struggling with their attitude is going through something that I don't know? I preached a camp this week in near Chattanooga, Tennessee. It's a youth camp, about 250 teenagers. And I used to do these all the time, six or seven a summer. And this is the only one I have left. I'm 61 years old. I fully expect them to not let me come back soon, but they did invite me back next year. Have no idea why they want a 62-year-old ball man preaching to them, but I keep going back. And every invitation, I go up to the front and I pray with young people. And what I do is after I give the invitation, we had 10 saved this week, to God be the glory, and many called to the ministry. It was an awesome week. And what I do oftentimes is I get on my knees and I put my arm around the young person. And this is usually teen camps. They've got nowhere to go. So these invitations sometimes last 20, 30 minutes. And I'll put my arm around and I'll say this: hey, why are you here? What can I pray with you about? Some of the things I heard this week in the mountains of Tennessee were this: young lady, weeping, crying. I was gang raped 3 weeks ago. Pray for me. I heard these words time after time: pray for me. My parents are going through a divorce. 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 I mean, over and over again, I would hear those words. Pray for me. My dad's a drug addict. I mean, just so many things. And I thought, how these young people need someone who will be long-suffering and patient with them. If we only knew what people are going through, it changes the way that we treat them, the way that we respond to them. Are you listening to me this morning? This is so eye-opening. What if that rude person is hurting? What if that frustrated person is overwhelmed? What if that person that keeps saying, huh, is losing their hearing, like me? That was for my wife, by the way, just in case you didn't know, yeah. I already told you, but I'm losing my hearing. Either it's an excuse or it's true. I really think I am losing my hearing. What if that difficult person is simply having a bad day? Long suffering begins when we move from why are they doing this to me to what might they be going through. That's when long suffering really begins. Number two, lead with mercy. You know what's interesting about the Bible is you see the word mercy and long suffering in the same verses a lot. Can I give you one? Just one. Here it is. Psalm 86:15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Why does God often place long-suffering and mercy together? Because mercy remembers how much grace they've received. And when you've received mercy and when you've received grace, you're more prone to be long-suffering with others. He who has been forgiven of much forgives much. Listen, the more aware I am of God's patience towards me, the more patient I am towards others. People are imperfect. Spouses are imperfect. Parents are imperfect. Children are imperfect. Employees are imperfect. Hey, everyone is imperfect. Amen. And that's okay to admit. I love this. I'll quote this verse a lot throughout this series, but John 15, verse 4 says this. Well, John 15, verse, I skipped that, didn't I, Joe? Yeah, let me make this statement. Long-suffering grows. Can you go to that one statement? I'm going a little bit faster, Zoe. I apologize. Long-suffering grows. You see it? When we stop expecting perfection from people who need grace just like we do. Is that on there? Maybe it's not. I'm sorry. Now let's read Colossians 3 together. I apologize. I'm going fast because I know we've spent a lot of time with other things. Please forgive me. Therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and dearly beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a grievance against another, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also are you to forgive. Above all, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Amen. Number three, finally, learn to laugh. Learn to laugh. You know what? You'll get through things a lot quicker if you'll learn to laugh at yourself. Did you know that laughter relieves tension? Amen? Sometimes we just need to have a good laugh. Sometimes we need to laugh at ourselves. Sometimes you laugh at life's surprises, laugh at the small inconveniences. If you can laugh at something, you can often make it through that something. So learn to laugh. Proverbs 17 and verse number 22 says this, a joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up the bones. Recognize God's purpose in the pressure. Respond with grace instead of reaction. And three, remain connected to Jesus. My closing thought, remain connected to Jesus. John 15, here's where that comes in. I'm sorry, was a little early with this one. But this will be a repeated scripture oftentimes. I'm going to say this a lot over the next few weeks. Remain in me and I in you. Just as the branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him, key right here, produces much fruit. If you will remain connected to Jesus, you will produce the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, the fruit of peace, and today the fruit of long-suffering. Because without me, you can do nothing, or because you can do nothing without me. Let me give you some actions here to take. These are actions to take to be able to stay connected to Jesus. Number one, abide in Christ. Abide in Jesus. Stay connected to the vine. None of us can manufacture long suffering. You cannot make it up. It doesn't happen on your own. It's impossible. If you're going to try to produce any of these fruits by yourself, you're going to fail miserably. But if you'll stay connected to Jesus, long-suffering is not self-produced. Long-suffering is Spirit-produced. It comes by being empowered by the Holy Spirit. The fruit comes from the vine, not the branch. The branch simply remains connected to the vine. And so long-suffering grows as we spend time in God's Word, as we spend time in prayer, as we walk closely with Christ. Because the closer we are to Jesus, the more His character appears in us. This is why it's so important to stay connected to Christ, especially in the Word and in prayer, in these early mornings with God. And then finally, accept adversity. God uses difficult people and difficult circumstances to grow us. When you learn to just accept a difficult... Can I give you a heads up here? You're going to have at least probably one bad day this week. You say, are you prophesying bad on my life? No, I just know the crowd's too big for us not to have at least one flat tire. Right? I mean, I already had somebody walk in today and say, man, my wife had to Uber to church today because she woke up and as soon as she turned the car on, the dashboard lit up and we got all kinds of problems and I'm going to have to get my car fixed next week. Sorry, boy, we'll pray for you, but it happens. Amen. It's not that I don't feel bad that it happened. It's just that I don't think we should not expect adversity and accept adversity. It's coming. God uses difficult people. God uses difficult circumstances to grow us. And that person who will irritate you this week, he may be one of the greatest tools for your spiritual growth. It's interesting, but sometimes God puts somebody in our lives that's difficult so that you and I can learn how to grow in grace. I need difficult people. Difficult people help me to grow in my patience and long-suffering. The difficult coworker, the stubborn family member, the demanding customer, the frustrating neighbor. God can use all of them. Amen. Got one of those? good. We need that. Instead of praying, Lord, remove them, perhaps we should pray, Lord, grow me. Lord, grow me through this difficult situation. And then thirdly, advance by faith. Advance, go forward. Long-suffering is faith in action. That's what long-suffering is. Long-suffering says, God, I trust you. I trust your timing. I trust your purposes. I trust your what you're doing. I trust that you're bigger than this problem. Advance by faith. Trust God. Every time we choose patience over panic, grace over anger, or faith over frustration, we are demonstrating obedience in God. Choose patience. Choose grace. Choose long-suffering. And as we celebrate 250 years of freedom, what an amazing celebration. Yesterday was special. It's a great day for our country. It did feel different for some reason. And I'm celebrating with you, but we honor the ones who've endured hardship, adversity, so future generations can enjoy the blessings we have today. The example of those who have gone before us reminds us of an important spiritual truth. And that spiritual truth is what we've been studying this morning, that the greatest things in life are built through endurance. They're built through long suffering. They're built through patience. Because great marriages are built through endurance. Great families are built through endurance. Great churches are built through endurance. And great Christians are built through endurance. Hang in there. Wait, be patient, have long suffering. Somebody needs it from you this week. I'd like to ask our worship team if they would to come forward. And while they're coming forward and I close this message, I want to say this about long suffering. It is not weakness. Men, can I say that for just a moment? Sometimes I think we think that when we are patient and long suffering, that's a weakness. No, it's grace under pressure. I love to see a coach who, when there's a bad call out on the court or on the field or in soccer or whatever it is, we're watching the World Cup, right? I love to see a guy keep his control and realize, you know what, people make mistakes. It's okay, let's just play on. Just play on. You rarely ever see that virtue, do you? Grace under pressure. It's choosing patience when irritation would be easier. It's choosing forgiveness when resentment would be easier. It's choosing faith when frustration would be easier. So let me ask you a question. Who in your life, think with me for just a moment, let some name or face come to your mind. Who in your life right now, who in your life needs you to be patient with them? Who in your life right now needs the fruit of long suffering in your life this week? Who is it? Is it the child? Spouse? An employee? Someone you're working with? Will it be a waitress at a restaurant today? Who is it that will need the fruit of patience in your life? The next time someone interrupts you, the next time someone inconveniences you, the next time someone interrupts you, don't see it as an interruption. See it as God's plan. Stop and say, God, thank you for this traffic jam. I'm just going to let you... You know, I'll tell you this. This week I was heading back from camp. I was 550 miles away Friday morning. I preached the message there that morning and I got in my truck. I said, man, I'm going to get home as quick as I can. It said 8 hours. So I get on the road. I get to Jackson, Tennessee on Interstate 40. And it says I'm going to get home at 6:30, right? And I'm excited. I've been driving about 4 hours. I got 4 hours left. And all of a sudden, my Apple Maps went from 6:30 to 8:30, like two hours. And then, you know that little red line that comes on your screen? Anybody ever seen the red line? And then it says traffic jam. And then it tells you how long. Well, my first reaction was, I can't believe this. God, what are you? And then I remembered the sermon. I said, okay, Eric, this is your opportunity. You might could use this as an illustration. What are you going to do here? So I decided to relax. He's going to try to reroute me. I'm trying to figure out how do I get out of this? But I'm calm. I'm relaxed. I decided to Google what's going on Interstate 40 in Jackson, Tennessee. And then the story shot up. And it was the story of a man who had kidnapped a little girl. And they were stopped in the center of the expressway. There were 50 cop cars and a helicopter above. And they had backed up the traffic a mile on both sides of Interstate 40 for hours. The little girl somehow got out of the car, ran into the arms of a policeman. The man got out of the car, and I guess he had a weapon, and they shot him dead on the road. And I thought, you know, I didn't know the whole story when that jumped up, but I would have waited 10 hours for that little girl to get out of that car and jump into a policeman's arms. If I could have known that, I wouldn't have reacted like I did even for 10 seconds. Sometimes we just don't know the whole story. And God's trying to teach us something. Let's bow our heads, shall we? With every head bowed, every eye closed. The fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering. Patience. May God teach us patience. May God give us the grace under pressure. May the next time an interruption happens in our life, may we stop and say, you know what? I'm going to allow the fruit of patience to grow stronger in my life. And it all really boils down to trusting God. In just a moment, we're going to sing this song called Trusting God. And we're going to respond one final time before we're dismissed. If there's anyone that needs to come to the altar to make a decision, someone that needs to pray, maybe if someone here doesn't know Christ as their Savior and the baptism's kind of stirred your heart and you're at a place now where you're like, I want that. I'll be waiting up front to pray with you along with someone else that joins me up front to pray with those who need prayer. We'll be waiting. We'll be ready. If you need prayer, feel free to come. As we sing, as we worship, as we respond, as we pray, God, bear the fruit of patience in my life so that I might give it to someone else. Father, I love you. I thank you so much for what you're doing. I thank you, God, for this service, for all of its facets, all of its announcements, all of its celebrations. I even thank you, God, for my little moment of confusion in this sermon, getting confused in my notes, God, for a purpose, realizing, God, that, Lord, for whatever reason, I needed to have a moment where you could humble me and show me, God, that your grace is sufficient to get me through a sermon. Lord, that I'm not perfect, that none of us are. And we need the patience of those around us. Father, help us to give patience and long-suffering to our spouses this week, our children, our employees. Lord, we love you. We thank you for all that you've done. The Word of God is powerful. God, I trust in you today. May that be our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand, shall we?